the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guest, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guest is brought in association with the good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, good evening to you, and I hope you had a very happy Easter. I really took the time out to spend some time just resting yesterday. I really was quite happy to be just home, just relaxing, and hope you did as well. Now, the action will continue in terms of regional cricket, the West Indies Breakout League. Yes, that starts on April the 25th. The first game, the Guyana Rainforest Rangers up against the Windward Infernos. And we also have a situation where the Trinidad and Tobago Legions will play against the Barbados Pelicans. That's action at 7. The first game is going to be at 2 o'clock. And we want to focus on that tonight on Mason and Guess, as we promoted. We've got a lot of very interesting people. They're not going to be with us for very long. And we also have Michael Hall from the CPL, who's going to be spending at least half an hour with us. So I'm not going to be talking a great deal at the start. I'm going to get right to it because these gentlemen have devoted their time to come on the show and spend 5 or so minutes with you. We've got Alec Atanes. Of course, he is from the Windward Infernos. He's the captain of the side. And we've also got Josh De Silva. And it's really good to have him very much with us as well. He is from the Trinidad and Tobago Legions. And of course, we also have the head coach of the Barbados team, Shirley Clark, the Barbados Pelicans. So we're going to be talking to these gentlemen. We can't forget our friend Rommel Lewis, of course, who is from Jamaica. Jamaica land, we love stir response to duty's call. And it's really good to have him very much with us as well, the Jamaica Titan. So what I'm going to do, gentlemen, we're going to go to you. I know you don't have a lot of time, so we're going to start with you, Josh De Silva. Josh, how are you this evening? And everything is okay? Had a good Easter, Josh? Josh? Is he the Queen's Park Oval? Or is he having a cough with Michael Hall? Hello, Josh. Okay, we don't have Josh. Hello. Okay.
Yeah, we do. We do. I can hear.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Why am I not hearing Josh? Am I hearing Josh now? All right. Yeah. Hello, Josh. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. All is well.
Okay, good. All right. What are your expectations for this tournament, Josh?
Not too much. It's a new tournament. A lot of good youngsters on show. Some guys who may not have the opportunity to showcase their talents on the T20 format. So I'm really excited for myself personally, but also for a lot of the youngsters around the region that are going to get this opportunity to showcase their talent on live TV as well, which is outstanding.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you're excited to be captain of the side as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course. We have a great group of youngsters here from Trinidad. We also have McKenny Clark and Johan Lane in our team. So really looking forward to leading these guys and hoping we can do our best and bring them the title to Trinidad for in the first year.
Talking about Johan Lane, this is a youngster from Barbados. Very impressive. Many people expect him to go very far. What do you think of the young man?
I also expect him to go very far. He's a very talented youngster. He's got the pace. He's got the skill. He's got the brain as well. He's a good cricketer. So for me, it's just hoping he unleashes his full potential and just shows the world what he can do, because he is a class act.
And of course, we were remiss of me if I didn't ask you about the season you had. You had a tremendous season with the bat and captain in Trinidad and Tobago, Red Force.
Yeah, it was really good. Happy to get some runs after Pakistan, where I didn't play too much. So it was really good to get some runs and just showcase what I'm still able to do. So just put my hand up for selection again.
All right. Now, before you go, I know that Dr. Ford or Philo Wallace or Basil Butcher Jr. And any questions for Josh? Let's start with you, Philo. Anything for Josh?
Hi, good evening, Andrew. Thanks for having me again. Thanks. Welcome to the guests, Sherlock Hart. We'll be in heaven. Josh, obviously, this is a new T20 competition. What do you expect from your young squad? Mm-hmm. And what do you expect of yourself as well as a captain?
From the squad, firstly, I just expect them to be themselves and just showcase what they we know that they're capable of. They were selected for a reason, so I'm not putting any pressure on anyone, but just go out there and be yourself. That's all we can ask for. It's an opportunity to showcase what you have, and we're just expecting the boys to play freely and do what they need to do and get the job done at the end of the day. For myself, I'm grateful and honored to captain this team again. Turned out in another format, so I'm just really looking forward to it. I've been in CPL for the last 5 years, but the opportunities obviously haven't been there because of I was a youngster for some of the years, and then playing test cricket and stuff. I scrubbed the bench a little bit, so it's nice to be there and get a full opportunity in the format and just showcase what I can do as well.
I see. Doc, any questions for Josh?
Josh, good evening to the panel and to listeners. Josh, you've come through the ranks as a younger player and now an international player. How do you feel about the opportunities for younger players, and how important is this tournament as the younger players being able to catapult themselves into international cricket?
Really important. We've seen a lot of guys after under-19 cricket get lost in the system, and they don't get as many opportunities from after under-19. So it's a really good initiative. I'm very proud to be part of it, and it's really good on CPL and Cricket West Indies' part that they have brought this to the light. And I'm excited for it. I know all of the boys are excited to get this up and going.
As someone who's been both places, what do you think is the most critical thing that may be missing in allowing people to make that transition from the under-19s to the international cricket?
Obviously, there's a lot of great players in the region, so it's a little difficult unless you're an exceptional talent. We've seen Jewel Andrew, who's broke onto the scene after under-19 cricket. But it's a lot of regional, a lot of talent in the region, and a lot of experience and as well. So it's hard to we call them old guys. When an experienced guy is doing really well, it's hard to just say, all right, well, let's just bring a youngster in, but he's still doing well. So I think these tournaments are really good to showcase the youngsters that we have in the region. And they can put up their hand for bigger things.
Do you think in our white ball formats and in the red ball formats within the region, do you think we need to have maybe one or two teams that are composed of just youngsters with a young leader? And just totally, trying to build each other and develop as a group.
Well, we have the academy who's in the Super 50 and the 40 stuff, and I think that's really good. They're getting opportunity to play first class cricket when they probably wouldn't be able to play for their franchise, or they wouldn't get selected for their franchise. So that's definitely something that that is really good. But I'm not sure where we'll find the area for them to fit in anywhere else other than the first class unlist day format, with this tournament coming on, we can see that the avenue is made for them to showcase their talents. But no, I think a whole team of youngsters probably isn't the greatest idea, because we need some experience to teach those youngsters about the game, and because they're learning on the job. Basically, you need somebody to help them learn there as well. I did it in test cricket and all, but it's about learning on the job for them, and it's just opportunity at the end of the day.
I see. And final question to Josh. Well, as you know, we're now searching for a test captain. If you are asked, would you be honored to lead the West Indies test side?
Yeah, of course. It would be an honor to do that. If so, given the opportunity, would gladly take it. But, I mean, it's not in my hands, so I'm just waiting for whatever's to come. It's all in God's hands. So for me, it's just about doing my part, as I did my part scoring runs. So it's up to the selectors and what they think. So not focusing too much on it. Obviously, it will be in my mind. But if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, I'm just happy to represent West Indies once the opportunity calls.
And of course, you were quite happy to lead the Trinidad and Tobago Red Force. You were also close to winning the championship. We had a very good time this year. Josh?
Yeah, it was really good. We had a great year. Unfortunately, we couldn't get over the line. I think the highlight of the year was beating Barbados in 2 days. but yeah, unfortunately, we couldn't get over the line. It was a really close game, and I played really well throughout the tournament as well. And yeah, they were the better team that took home the title in the games that they played. So yeah, we know what it is to be that close now, and hopefully we don't make the mistake again. We had a tough game against Jamaica where we lost, and I think that cost us the title. So,
yes, it did.
Just don't make those mistakes again and try and do better next year.
All right, Josh, thanks very much. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and make sure you go and vote, huh?
I will, thank you, Andy.
All right, good. All right, we're going to move quickly on. Shirley Clark is the head coach of the the Barbados team, the Pelicans. Hello, Shirley, how are you?
Hey, good evening to everybody. I'm well.
Right. How are you? I'm fine. Okay. When did you arrive in Trinidad?
Only this morning.
Mm.
I've been up since 2 o'clock this morning.
Mm.
I'm very, very tired.
Okay. Yeah. Have you gotten the room as yet? Because the Guyanese are saying that at the Hilton there, they're struggling to get some rooms there. Have you been able to finally get into your room?
Finally.
Okay, wonderful.
Finally, Saturday.
Right, okay, good. What are your expectations? You got some very talented cricketers.
Yeah, for me, it's just for the team to go there and execute our game plans. I'm pretty sure that once we do that we'll be able to compete for that number one spot. I really expect these guys to go there and play with their hearts. I met the people of Barbados proud and their families proud.
Mm-hmm. Happy with the preparations leading to this tournament, Shirley?
Yeah, we had a few weeks of preparation. I thought the preparations went well. I just want to show Coach Shane Dowridge. He was a big help. He assisted me well. Andrew Richardson was overseas.
Mm-hmm.
We did a lot of work with the guys that were on the ground. Obviously, we had some other players playing for us last cricket, but I thought the preparations went pretty well.
Yes, okay. And you are in Port of Spain, a long drive up to the Baron Lara Academy? Longish?
Yeah, it's fine. Not too far.
Not too far?
Not too far.
Okay. Now, I note that Stephen Leslie sent out a press release. I think it was it today or yesterday that Naeem Young is your captain. You also got Kevin Wickham. Is he your vice-captain?
Yeah, Kevin is the vice captain. He's the captain, and I believe that both these guys definitely show some leadership qualities, especially Naeem. I think Naeem is someone who has the experience of playing in the CPL, and he'd be key to our success in this tournament. A very knowledgeable person in the game, and a student in the game also.
Right. And tell us about some of your big guns, if one cares to describe it like that. You've got Naeem and, of course, Kevin Wickham. Tell us about some of the other players.
Yeah, we have a few guys that have CPL experience. We have Kadeem Ali, we have Lenico Boucher, Shakir Paris, Kevin Wickham, as you said before.
Yep.
Young himself, Joshua Bishop. We also have Junior St. Clair from Guyana, Ramon Simmons, Nathan Seeley. All those players have some sort of CPL experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty solid slate.
Yeah, very solid side. So stay with us. We're going to let you go pretty soon. I don't know if Basil Butcher, Julie, you got a question for Shirley?
No, Andrew, the question I wanted to ask, because he's covered pretty much everything. The question I wanted to ask was Josh. As Josh has been in Trinidad, what was the weather like recently in terms of pain? Because I know I was talking to friends in Guyana, who just came back from there playing for a cricket tour, and the rain marred a whole bit of the cricket tour. I was hoping that.
Well, maybe you could ask. Maybe you could ask Michael Hall, because he has been there for about 5 weeks now. Michael, what's the weather like in Trinidad? Is it like the weather in Kingston?
Oh, how is the weather, Michael? Is the weather good there?
Well, good evening, Andrew. Good evening, everyone. Rohanson, what's up, man? I haven't seen you since your intern days at the CPL. Good to see you, man. All is well?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you?
Okay, I'm great. Thanks. So, Andrew, contrary to popular belief, when I go to work at a tournament, I don't gad about. I've been in my room for the past 5 weeks working.
Wonderful. Wonderful indeed.
No. I got here last night. The weather today has been perfectly fine.
Good.
I have been watching the Kerfta games over the past weekend, and the weather there also seemed fine. Mind you, we're in Port of Spain.
Right.
And obviously, Branlar is a bit south of here, Branlar Cricket Academy. But the forecast for, I mean, you know how it goes. Man plan and God laugh. But the forecast is pretty decent based on what I Googled. So we're hoping for good weather.
Indeed.
All right.
Yes.
That was a concern. Because
it was.
This, you know, the distance.
Right. Dawkins, any questions for Shirley Clark, the head coach, before he goes?
Shirley, what are you expecting to see from our youngsters? I mean, I know every team wants to win, but going past that, what is it that you're really looking to see from your youngsters in terms of performance?
Well, I expect the guys to go there and express themselves. Just be themselves, showcase the talent. I know I make a name for myself. As I said before, the guys have been working really, really hard. So I expect good things from them.
I see. Final question. Rohanson, I mean, it's good to have you in the show. You're making your debut on Mason and Guest, and you're a journalist. And any questions for Shirley Clark before he goes? Anything you want to ask him?
My only question for Shirley would be, with having a lot of guys with a CPL experience, how are you really going to balance that dressing room? Because everybody's going to be fighting to get into that final 11.
Mm.
I understand it. CWA has some rules that the leg spinner must play a certain amount of games. So I wanted some clarification on that as well.
Well, it's always good to have competition instead of the team. It means that the team is pretty decent. In terms of the constraints with the leg spinner and stuff, obviously, we would have looked at that and strategize. So we have plans in place. So we should be working.
I see. All right. Well, Shirley, just before you go, what do you have to say to this great nation? I note with interest the Prime Minister, Auntie Mayor, was talking about the athletes today. She was extremely happy with one gold medal and bronze. How many? Five? There were five. Overall, 14. What do you have to say to the people of Barbados as you look to win another title? The Pelicans, the first.
Yes. I'll just say support the guys 100%, and we'll be giving 100% out there.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Nonetheless.
Shirley, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you, man.
All right, good. We're going to move quickly on. Rama Lewis, of course, he is from the land of wood and water, like Michael Hall, to Jamaicans. And it's really good to have him on Mason and Guest. Hello to you, young Lewis. You got a major name, first of all.
Good evening, all.
Yes, good evening to you, sir. All right, talk to us. You've had a lot of experience as captain. You would have captained on the 15, on the 17, on the 19. In fact, you even captained the West Indies team. So that should serve you in good stead as a leader, Rommel.
Yeah, I've been leading from a very young age, so it's nothing new to me.
Mm-hmm. I see. And what are your expectations? What are you looking to do? Win this thing for Jamaica? Jamaica Titans?
Yeah, obviously, you're coming into a competition. You're always looking to win, but you know, there's a process to it. You know, first, as a team or as a group, we want to finish in the top three, and then you move on from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course you would have represented the Talawas in the CPL some time ago.
Yeah, I've represented the Talawas in 2019 and 2020.
Yeah, I see. Tell us about some of the top players you got there. I see Mr. Leroy Lugg. I saw him playing for Maple in local cricket. Mackenzie, I saw him recently in Barbados. Tell us about some of these young, exciting players you've got.
Yeah, obviously, Lugg, you know, everyone knows him to have a lot of power. And, you know, he played this CPL before. You know, he's looking forward to get back a spot there. You know, Kirk Mackenzie, who have been on the international scene and test cricket for West Indies. You know, he have played in the CPL as well. So, you know, he's looking forward for, you know, a spot there. And we also have some, you know, excited young talent. You know, Jordan Johnson, you know, he's have enormous amount of talent.
Yes. And, you know,
the leg spinner in Young Redwood, who took a 7-wicket haul and is in his first class debut for Jamaica Scorpions.
Mm. And from Barbados, young Zion Brathwaite, I'm very excited about him as a cricketer.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about him. You know, I see how he goes about things. You know, he joined us in Jamaica for a few days and, you know, he looked the part and, you know, he looked like a really competitive cricketer. So, you know, I really liked him so far.
When did you arrive in Trinidad?
Yeah, we arrived last night.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah,
Okay, yeah. What wonderful. And you're saying that the Hilton Hotel as well, like the others? Everybody's saying yes. This? Okay.
Yes, we're at Hilton.
Wonderful. All right, stay with us. We're going to just go quickly to Philo to see if he's got a question. I know that you're a busy man. Philo, anything for young Lewis?
Yeah, I just want to say congrats to Rahman Lewis for being appointed captain for this tournament. What my thing is your preparation. How your preparations went for this tournament in Jamaica? Obviously, the Barbadian came up. How much preparation did he have and the squad has put in order to hit the ground running when it starts in a couple of days' time?
A lot of our guys wasn't playing in the four-day tournament because, you know, we have a lot of guys who are just coming on the scene. So, you know, it was just a few guys that are away. So we had a couple of training sessions and, you know, a few practice games before they had came back. And then, you know, we had one practice game with the full squad. So the preparation was good. You know, we have a couple of training sessions and a couple of practice games.
Mm, I see. Well, of course, you want to make Jamaica and in particular Westmoreland pretty well. Of course, Westmoreland is a hometown of Blackwood, isn't it? Is he a Westmoreland man, Mr. Blackwood?
Yeah. Jermaine is a Westmoreland man. He's a cousin of mine as well.
Oh, he's a cousin. All right. Okay. Have you ever met Michael Hall?
I think we have spoke already, but probably over the phone or something. But I saw him in the airport. You know, we came in on the same flight.
Okay. And you knew him because of his white beard, huh? It's getting longer.
Yeah, those white beard always stand out for something, eh?
Michael, say hello to your fellow Jamaican, Michael.
Yeah, man. Greetings, Ramal. Best of luck in the tournament to you. You are. I'm not sure we've spoken on the phone, but I'm pretty sure our paths crossed in 2019 when you were a part of the Talawas. So good to see you back in action. And again, best of luck for the tournament.
Yeah, Michael, thanks.
Right. And Michael, can you confirm that the Talos will be back in CPL next year? Can you confirm that? I heard the president say that.
I'll come back on next week and we can discuss.
you're not so sure. Like the lights. The president keeps talking about the lights. I mean, we want to see them at Sabine Park. Rommel, it's a pleasure to have you on, Mason and Guest. And of course, it's good to know that things are going well. You had the experience of captaining on several occasions. And no doubt that should serve you in good stead. You think you got a good enough team to win this thing? I know it's a question that may be a difficult one, but I'm sure that you, like most captains, would want to win it, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah. Obviously, you get a team to lead. You have to give the players their support and the confidence. So, you know, I think we have a good balanced squad. So, you know, we just have to hit the park running and, you know, hopefully we can get some wins and get into the top three.
Mm-hmm. Final question, Rohan. You got a question from Mr. Waith? Anything for your good friend, Mr. Lewis?
About Zion, obviously the overseas players are expected to play a number of games. Would you be looking to slot in Zion at the start to get out today?
That's a big question.
as I said, we just have one, we had one practice game together. So going forward in the training sessions, we have a few days before our game. You know, me and, you know, Coach Nikita Miller and Jerome Taylor, we'll have a discussion around the team selection and getting the right balance for the game. So, you know, we're not sure what we really want as yet.
I see. Thanks very much indeed for coming and talking to us. Enjoy the rest of your evening, sir.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Final stop. We're going to go to, well, he's not in Dominica. Alec Atanes is very much in Trinidad and Tobago with the Windward Infernos. Hello to you, Alec. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good, good, good. Are you relaxing at your hotel, the big 5-star hotel there that Michael Hall would have provided for you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. With a suite as well. You know, of course, you have to be in the suite as a captain. All right. When did you arrive in Trinidad?
We came in last night we landed about after 9, but we got to the hotel like 11.
Okay. And the full squad is there? Full squad is there? The Windward squad?
The full squad is there.
Okay, good. Wonderful. Any expectations of the tournament?
Obviously, I guess to look at the exciting bunch of cricket going around, I think we have a brand of cricket right now in the Caribbean where we're looking to push, and it'll be exciting to see the younger bunch of guys actually buy into it and do it.
I see. And you've never had the experience of captaining the Windwards this year in the regional tournament. That should serve you in good stead, Alec.
Yeah, I've captained before. I captained Windward for 3 years now. So. Yep. I mean, it's nothing new, but different format, I guess. So, you know, I'm excited for the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Philo or Rohansson? Basil. Basil, any questions for the man that you chose as the next West Indies captain? Basil?
Alec, my one singular question is, who are some of the young players in your squad that we should be looking out for?
Good question. Yes, Alec?
I mean, we have a lot of exciting young batting. Aki Mogis is definitely one, a middle-order batter we have to look out for. His good friend Teddy Bishop as well. You guys know Teddy, he played CPL. He has a bit of experience. Yep. Mm-hmm. I still feel like he has a lot to offer, so he's one to look out for. Myself, I'm looking to make up Eugene Park in the tournament as well, leading from the front. So I guess we have a good bunch to look at.
Mm-hmm. I see. What number you're looking to bat at, Alec? I know you sometimes open, sometimes you come in the middle. Ideally, where would you want to bat?
Ideally, I would love to open, but I think we're still looking at the setup. We're still looking at the conditions. We haven't gotten a chance to look at the stadium. So depending on how the wicket is, I think we would try to create a plan around that and where I would bat.
Mm. Philo, a question for your good friend Alec Atanes.
Hi, Alec. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Happy Easter, belated. I'm fine, man. Everything is in order. Obviously, when you look at this tournament, it's new.
Yeah.
As another challenge for you as well and the young cricketers from the Windward Islands, what do you expect from this squad? Mm-hmm. I don't know who your coaches are and what the preparation was like leading into this tournament.
I think they prepared well. A lot of the guys we have here in the team, they were involved in the VPL. That is the T10 in St. Vincent. And I think they got some good preparation. Yeah, the wicket was good. The quality of cricket was excellent. So the preparation was good on their part. Me, myself, I did some personal work. Some of us that weren't involved in the VPL, we did work on the side with the coaches, Ken Roy Peters, and the assistant is John Eugene. The preparation was really good. This bunch is very exciting. I think a lot of them, they are excited to go out and showcase their talent. It's a mix of, I would say, in terms of youth level experience and some guys newly coming into it. So we have a lot of captains, a lot of guys thinking the game as well. So that is something, you know, we are happy to have, and we're just looking to go out there and showcase our talent.
Is that it for you, Philo? Rohansson, anything? Or Dr. Ford? Where's Dr. Ford gone? I'm not seeing it on Zoom. Maybe he's gone to check with a patient. Doc, you have patients at your house? Oh, come on. It's past 6 o'clock. No, Doc. Do that. Leave that for tomorrow.
Alec, well, you first have to tell us how to pronounce your surname, because I've heard very
What is it?
The opportunity to educate us.
Yes.
Correct.
What is it?
It's Athanase.
Okay.
Say that again.
Athanase.
Athanase. Michael, what do you call it? You call it Athanase, don't you, Michael?
No, I call it what he calls it.
Yes, Dr. Ford.
Alec, you are one of the young up and coming talents. You show aggression and a wide variety of shots. What do you want next for your international career? What are the things that you'd like to improve on? And where do you see yourself in years to come if you can fulfill all of the ability that you obviously have?
Well, one of the things I've been working on, I guess, is trying to find a balance with trying to match the aggression and, I guess, the temperament to bat even longer.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the things I really think that I need to, you know, try to work on, especially international cricket, where they work you over very quickly. I like being aggressive, but as an aggressive player, you present more chances than somebody that is looking to bat all day. So I try my best to work on that balance, and obviously to get that test century. That is, I believe, as long as I cross that threshold, and, you know, I'm the type of player that usually learns how to do something on the job. And once I when does the same thing with first class. As long as I got that first 100, then a lot came after that, because I understood how to get there and how to cross that threshold. So I'm looking to obviously get that first test 100. It's been a little challenge for me getting out in the 90s a couple of times, but I'm optimistic and I love the game, so I will always be looking to get better every time.
Yeah, we could see it, and of course we were, you know, disappointed as you were that you didn't get there, because you look really good, especially in your last innings when you got to the 90s. But what's it like for someone like you, seeing a ball, thinking of what to do with it? Does it ever happen that you there's more than one thing you want to do with that ball, and then you try to figure out which one to do, and then that takes up a millisecond of your time? Quandary?
So I sometimes it's exactly what you just said, because there are times where I just react, and that is when I bat my best. Times where I'm looking to score all the time, and whenever I see a ball, to be honest, I think runs. And I think how I could get this away for, depend on how the bowler is bowling, if he's in a group, look on how I could get it away for a single, get off strike, or how I could put him under pressure. And that is, a lot of times, sometimes I try to do it too early in my inning,
mm-hmm.
and when I'm actually not in as yet, and mm-hmm. that sometimes leads to my downfall. But most of the times I just react and let my natural instinct take over, it works out.
Mm.
I know you've spent some time with Brian Lara and in the past, but how much do you yearn to really, you know, continue to get information from him and to learn, or to be mentored by someone who is left-handed, has the mindset that you have, and maybe the aspirations that you desire to emulate that person?
I think a lot of the information that I just gave you actually came from him. From Brian. I used to sometimes stay in my shell with the way I think, because I thought that, you know, I played too aggressive and I used to get all silly and stuff, but he actually tried to get me to embrace the fact that I am aggressive. And it's just about, you know, trying to find the balance and trying to understand what bowlers are trying to do. In terms of playing spin, he actually helped me a lot in playing spin, where he's always thinking one step ahead of the bowler. But I love spending time with Brian, to be honest. When I speak to Brian, it's like he's speaking into a mirror. He has so much knowledge and he understands, you know, the aggressive nature. So it's like you're just speaking to yourself.
Well, there's a perception that the younger player doesn't sometimes respect or want to hear from the older player. That's something that a theme that we talk about on the show. But as a younger player, how do you feel about all of those illustrious players that have gone before you? Some that they played another time, some have a different handedness. Do you think that these older players have any value to an up-and-coming young player like yourself?
Of course. I mean, if you look at all the older players, a lot of them average over 45. And I mean, if you weren't good, you wouldn't average over 45.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is silly of us as young players to not want to get any information from those that have done it before and done it better than us. So myself, as long as I get their contact or get to meet them in person, I ask questions. I want to find out what it is I need to do to be successful at that level. So it's silly of any young player not to try to get information. Because as soon as we head overseas, we look for information and we have the best at it, right? So, yeah.
Very, very, very interesting.
I want to ask Alex a question. I want to ask Alex a question, Andrew, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
But two questions before we leave. You spoke about the brand of cricket that you want to play in your setup. I would like to know what that brand is. And Michael Hall is here as well, who's part of the organizing committee for this breakout competition. Now that you said that the seniors, that the experienced players add value,
mm-hmm.
I think on hindsight, you don't think that a cricket legend could have been part of a mentor in the various squads that are there in Trinidad at the moment?
Mm-hmm.
To me,
that is the Alec, and then you could address it as well. But I'd like to hear from Alec's point of view, and I would like to hear from you,
from Michael,
if it's something down the road that you're thinking about doing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in terms of the brand of cricket we're looking to push, I think a lot of players, young players, don't really think the game into detail. And we normally just go out and we play. A lot of us talented and we just go and play. Sometimes you're successful, sometimes you're not. So the brand of cricket we're looking to push is that, you know, you want everybody thinking the game. People looking at the next step, trying to think of what we could have done or what we could do to, you know, to better the game, or what we could do to even win the game, potentially winning the game, or getting a better total, understanding conditions. Those kind of things. That is the kind of brand. Not necessarily going out and being positive, but I guess thinking the game into detail. Mm. That is the brand we're going to push here.
Mm.
And in terms of the mentoring, I think it is always good to have some of the senior guys around, people that have done it before. Always good to have them. I guess they have been in situations, they have played many games and have been in situations similar to whatever you're facing right now. So it will only serve the young players good to have somebody to look up to and somebody that will actually give you a response where they were in that situation and not just what they think they would have done if they were in that situation.
Michael.
Mm.
Michael.
Yeah. It is definitely something that, as the tournament takes place year to year, because we fully intend for it to, you know, for that to happen. But if I'm brutally frank, I'm not sure that, well, not that I'm not sure. We really did not consider it in any great way for this first edition of the tournament. I have my own thoughts about the value of mentorship. Obviously, you would want to find the right mentors. And perhaps my viewpoint is too narrow. But it seems to me, and here I'm only expressing my personal view, it seems to me that if you're having a T20 tournament where you're trying to identify the next generation of T20 players, and again, I stress, this is my personal view, you would want to have as mentors legends from that, what's the word I'm looking for that type of cricket. You would want to have T20 legends.
Okay, I see what you mean.
I don't agree with T20 legends.
I knew you wouldn't fill up, and that's fine. I'm saying, again, it's my personal opinion. I think especially when you're talking about the rules of this tournament that have identified a bonus point system that is sort of centered and focused on the direction that the all-encompassing coach is pushing for his white ball teams, then I think that someone who is going to mentor these guys ought to be someone who has played this version of the game at the highest level and has had success. So if I were asked to sit around a table and discuss whether we should have mentors and who they should be, that would be my contribution. In other words, I don't think, for example, and this is, again, I'm not disrespecting any of our legends. I'm as old as many of them, but I don't think that they would be fit for purpose to mentor young players who are playing in the T20 form. I could be totally off base. It's just my opinion.
That's going to make primetime sports tomorrow, Michael. That's a big statement you're making there. Michael, you sure you want to say that again?
Statement, you know, it's just my opinion. That I'm
Michael, you're going to get some lashes for that. Fit for purpose. Michael.
Yes, you know the phrase, aren't
you? Well, if that was true to form, Michael, I think our cricket would be in better hands.
Oh,
so I don't believe it fit to form. I think that if somebody has the credentials and the capabilities and the understanding of a format of a cricket tournament, I think they can play a role. When you look at the IPL bench, you see a lot of former Indian players. A lot of them have not really played a lot of T20 cricket. And they're there because of the respect that they have within the cricket setup. I find in the Caribbean, because a man who played T20, it shouldn't be around T20. And I think it is wrong. You have a young tournament, the young players, and all the managers and the people involved are young. So young leading young. There's no experience to call on. When a fella's struggling, we just heard Joshua De Silva, we just heard Ale Antunes talk about it, but yet we're still saying we're trying to get fit for purpose. But all cricketers will understand that fit for purpose. And I would like to know if there are any former cricketers who sit on your board, Michael Owen, I plan these cricket tournaments because that fit for purpose is just hit my heart.
You can't tell me
that Jeffrey Dujon can't go into a franchise, but a T20 franchise and talk about T20 cricket or Michael Holden to bowl him properly or Wayne Daniel from Barbados. I can't believe that. Or Sir Clive Lloyd.
Look, Philo, let's be very clear about this. You asked me if there are any people on my board who are former cricketers. I mean, I can tell you that the organizing committee or the oversight committee, if you will, for this tournament comprises of three directors from the West Indies Cricket Board and myself and Pete Russell, who is the CEO of the Caribbean Premier League. A lot of the cricketing, what's the word I'm looking for? The cricketing structure around the tournament. So, you know, you must have a leg spinner. And he must bowl three of his four overs in any game that he plays, et cetera, et cetera. And how the bonus point, those were driven by, again, influenced by the direction that the current white ball coach is going in, that he wants his teams to do, and sort of put in place by the director of cricket for Cricket West Indies, who is Miles.
We talk about fit for purpose, but if a captain is on a field of play and he has a leg spinner, I can't see how a directive can come to that captain to say, this leg spinner must bowl at that time. Let the captain use his own imagination and initiative and thinking to fit the leg spinner in. That is what you call fit for purpose. Is the leg spinner fit to come in at this point of time to bowl? But he has to bowl at a time where he's not fit for purpose. So they're trying to model off cricket, but yet the cricket has not been played yet.
I only hope, and the rule is what it is regarding leg spinners and the fact that they must bowl 75% of their allotment. And for the sake of the young leg spinners who are in each of the teams, I only hope that they don't get carted around for 35 in the first two and have to bowl again, not just for their sake. And mind you, I mean, even if that happens and they have to bowl a third, they have to suck it up and bowl a third. But I think it also, as you say, forces the captain's hand, right? Because he could bowl two and get smashed. And the captain might have normally said, well, I'm not bowling this dude again today. I'm going to wait for another game. So, look, Philo, it's a new tournament. No one is going to get everything right. And again, I want to stress What I said a while ago about fit for purpose is just my opinion. Maybe I'm oversimplifying it.
Mm.
But for me, if I want to learn how to be a tailor, I'm not going to ask a cobbler.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I just think that mentorship for teams who are playing in this tournament, ought to come from people who are experienced and successful in this form of the game.
Mm. I see. Just hold your horses. Ken Husbands is now coming to the studio. Last week he was in yellow. He's in red. Of course, there's a big by election coming up very soon.
So I'm running. And let me tell you, and I run real fast too.
All right, we're going to pause for business because I know you got your hand up, Basil. We're going to let Alec Atanez go very soon, but missing a guest, broaden association with our good friends. That is, if you went rum, the best shot of the day.
Yes, they feel white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, let's go to Basil Butcher Jr. You got your hand up?
Yeah, I wanted to add to this mentor of what Michael is saying. At the end of the day, they're playing cricket, right? And regardless of the format, those situations that a mentor who had played at a high level successfully, those situations are pretty much the same. It's just a different, it's still cricket. Mm. It is still, so if a guy finds himself in a situation, he needs to rotate the strike, score runs, or bowl and find himself in a tight situation. Somebody who has played successfully at the highest level, regardless of format, can give advice to that player, options and how they could have worked it out. So I don't think the format is such a big deal. And those guys will bring a richness of helping youngsters to understand all the variables in batting, innings, constructing overs and all of that. Because you have to do all of those same things regardless of format. So I don't think the format is such a big deal. I think it's more the experience and the successful players that would get the respect from the young players, like what Alec had said earlier. You know, it's not a guy coming who averaged 25 and to come in and tell them something. A guy who is well-respected, they're going to listen and they're going to get jewels from those guys. I could guarantee you that, Michael.
Michael?
Well, I mean, look, I think we are agreeing to disagree. I mean, I'm not here to get into any fisticuffs or anything like that. I mean, I just think that the T20 version of the game is so specialized in its demands.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, Basil, I hear what you're saying, that if somebody can play, they can play. And I think that there are certainly enough examples of that throughout world cricket now, where guys play all formats and do well in all formats. But I would suggest to you that if you were to take a sample of international cricketers and find or be asked to identify those who can play well in any and all formats, it would be a small sample size.
All right. Okay.
I say that to say it is rare, I think, for you'd be hard pressed to find someone who was a successful test cricketer, particularly a batsman, who would have found himself in a situation in a test match where he was required to score at 10 runs an over for 8 overs in a row.
Mm.
Yeah. For me, and again, this is only my opinion, it's just a totally different skill set. Yes? And I think that if you haven't faced that or did not face that in your international career, yes, some things are basic and common to all formats of the game, but the demands of T20 cricket, I believe, are such that if you haven't experienced the cauldron that is T20 cricket, it would be difficult, in my view.
Mm. All right. Okay.
Yeah, but I would say this.
No, go ahead, Basil.
I'll just say this quickly. the stress of the situation, regardless of wanting to eat to score 8 or 10 runs and over, the stress of the situation, a batter is in a test match where the bowlers got them under the collar and got to be able to work out this, get out of this situation, that stress and that understanding and that calmness and all those things translates across formats. That's all.
Okay. Okay. So I think now, having diverged, we are converging. Because what you are describing is someone who needs to be able to speak to these youngsters or any young sports person about the mental aspect.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking
about. Okay. And they may not necessarily be able to do that because they were successful playing test cricket 30 years ago.
That's true. And
what you have pointed out to me is something that I think, because I was asked a question about mentorship. What's more important to me than mentorship is the fact that I believe every team that represents, whether it's a territory or the region, must travel with a sport psychologist.
And what I just described is also mentorship.
All right. Okay. Alec, we're going to let you go. I know that you've been with us. You've been listening very intently to what Michael Hall has had to say and fellow Wallace's bouncers. And I think Basil Butcher's bowling some googlies as well there as well. So no doubt you're looking forward to this tournament and hoping that the Windward Infernos can have the coup de grace. I'm sure you're looking forward to winning this thing, Alex.
Yeah, well, that's the plan.
That's the plan. Final question to you. Would you like to captain the West Indies Test team someday,
Alex? I would love to. Yeah, I would love to captain the West Indies team.
And why would you want to captain the West Indies team?
I think leadership brings out the best in me. Anybody that know me personally knows I perform better when there's added responsibility placed onto me. And I think I have a lot to offer, to be honest.
I see. And of course, you know, there's a vacancy, so you never know, you may get a call.
Well, we'll see about that.
I see.
Alec.
Yes.
Best of luck to you and the team in the tournament. And just on a personal note, keep on doing what you're doing. And I can tell from the way you speak that you believe in yourself.
Yes, he does. Yes.
As long as you keep doing that, you have a far way to go in this game.
You can see that by the way he bats.
Any final words, Alec, before you go?
I guess just look out for some exciting cricket. Not just from me, but the tournament on our own. I'm excited to show our talent. Not much of us, well, much of them play CPL, get a chance to play CPL, and now we get a chance to play together, you know, basically younger CPL. So I just look out for the exciting bunch.
And you get a chance to go home often, and I know you're traveling all across the world. I mean, how's Dominica? You missing Dominica?
Yeah, you didn't say that.
You know, the last time we went there, I didn't have any Moncton chicken.
They don't have any Moncton chicken anymore.
Really?
I've never had it. You had it?
No, I mean, I mean, Michael Hall, when he went there, he had it. But I mean, I've always gone to Dominica, but I've never had Moncton chicken. You're saying there's more Moncton chicken there?
I don't think there is anymore. The national dish changed. I don't think they have anymore.
What's the national dish now of Dominica?
I think it's Crab Callaloo.
Crab Callaloo. Michael, you know what's Crab Callaloo?
Andrew, I know you're a big fan of Jamaica and everything Jamaican, right? So let me ask you a question. Are you familiar with the reggae singer Gregory Isaacs?
Yes, indeed.
He had a very popular song called Hop Off I'm a Fender.
I love that one. Hop Off I'm a Fender. Thanks, Alex. It's good to see you. Nice change you got on there as well. Some good chains there. Like, it reminds me of Wes Hall, you know, and chains jangling as he was bowling. Thanks for coming on the show. Enjoy the rest of your evening, Alec.
No problem. Enjoy the rest
of your evening. Okay, wonderful. Very confident young man. Very happy with what he said. And he said that if he's given the opportunity to captain the West Indies team, he'd love that. And I'm sure that's going to make primetime sports in Dominica tomorrow on DBS Radio. All right, Michael, you got your hand up?
Yeah. Quickly, Andrew, because you are aware of my other engagement this evening.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to make a general comment about the tournament and its connection
sure.
to the Caribbean Premier League. For us, the breakout league is a hybrid, an extension of the emerging player concept or construct that became a part of the CPL maybe 4 or 5 years ago. In that scenario, teams were obliged to select two players under the age of 23, and those players would have simply been nominated by Cricket West Indies, and teams were therefore forced to rely on somebody to provide them with local knowledge about the player. It could have been an agent flogging the player. They could have looked up your stats, etc. I think the difference now with the breakout tournament is very clear. First of all, it's a bigger opportunity for these young players because teams are now obliged to draft three players each from the breakout tournament. But what it does for the franchises, Andrew, is that it gives them an opportunity to actually see these players performing in a tournament setting and evaluate based on the data that's going to be captured by the various team analysts. And obviously, they can look at video footage because the tournament is going to be broadcast globally. So I think that is the important bit for us and our reason for really being fully supportive of this tournament. It's good for our franchises. They were quite happy to embrace being able to pick three of these guys. It may be that the ones that perform the best in this tournament would be some that have CPL experience before. But by experience, they would have probably just been able to be in a squad and maybe not get that many chances to play. But it could also be that there are 9 or 10 guys who come out of this tournament who have never played in the CPL before and who are just dying for a chance to showcase their skills. So we're excited about the tournament, and we think it's really going to help to unearth some new exciting talent.
Just before you go, Michael, spend another 5 minutes with us quickly. Any questions from you, journalist Rohansson Waith, for Michael? All he's got 5 minutes left. Anything you want to ask him quickly?
Michael, I'll just ask about the thinking of the 30 years and under. A player like Ramal Lewis, he captained the West Indies at a 19 back in 2014. He's about 28 now, and here he still is, I guess, bouncing around this cricket. In my opinion, age of like maybe 27 or 26 or under would have been better suited to capture some of the younger talents, because I still feel we have some of the guys who we've tried and not really suited for the T20 format are still in this tournament. So I'm not sure if we're fully getting our aim of this breakout league.
Hmm.
Well, what I will say in response to your question, Ranson, which is an excellent question, is that I'm in total agreement with you.
Hmm.
You can pick sense from nonsense.
Hmm.
With that response. So in all seriousness, I felt also that the age limit should have been a little less than that, but it was the view of the majority in the course of the discussions that there are people who are beyond that particular age. Who could be late bloomers, who may have been around but haven't really had a great opportunity. I think also we always have to consider the commercial aspect of any venture, right? Cricket is a business. We have to try to commercialize the tournament and make it a commercial success. The tournament this year is costing a sizable amount of money to run. And obviously, we wanted to be able to attract sponsorship. Sometimes in order to do that, you have to have players in there with a certain level of experience. You know, one of the criteria is the player would have to have played less than 10 T20 internationals.
Mm-hmm.
I had suggested initially less than five, because now you're really talking about people who are emerging or who are, you know, just getting a chance. In my view, and it's, again, it's a personal view, if you've played 10 T20s, T20 internationals, you've had an opportunity to, you know, to stake a claim. And if you haven't been able to do so by the time you've played 10, and you're still sort of trying to break out or break in, to me, five or less would have been better. And the age limit might have been 26 or 27. But listen, I stress, it is the first time that we're having a tournament. I think it's a great initiative. And just like everything else, you know, if you're going out to sea in a boat and you decide you're going to go east, northeast, and when you go that way, you know, the weather wasn't good or the breeze never blew right, you change tack and you go in a different direction. It's a learning experience, not only for the players who are going to play in this tournament, but for us as organizers. And I'm certainly not ashamed to say that publicly.
Any other questions, Rohansson? Just hold on, Philo. Just 1 minute. Rohansson, another question before you, Philo, and then Philo comes in.
No, nothing else, Rohansson.
Okay, Philo?
Yeah,
I just want to ask Michael if there's any prize money.
I believe that there are some. There is prize money, sir. It's nothing stupendous. But I think that you know, reward Sweden's labor. You know what I mean? I don't think you should have guys playing in a tournament and there's not some sort of incentive. Yes, there's incentive to do well because the prospect of getting into a CPL franchise and getting in front of an even bigger audience and perhaps who knows where you go from there. But there ought to be some, in my view, there ought to be, and certainly in the view of the folks at Cricket West Indies as well, there ought to be some sort of prize money offered.
And you're not in a position to tell us. So let's assume the winner. What would the winner get?
I don't have it at my fingertip. Let me give you an example of the kind of prize money we're talking about.
Sure.
So for the man of the match, I think the man of the match gets $200.
Okay.
And the man of the final gets 400 or something like that. I mean, the prize money is minimal.
I see. Philo,
what's sweet you?
But surely you should have made.
Pardon, Michael?
but surely Michael.
Michael, there's nothing sweet with those numbers. You're taking young men from their countries. You're giving them a $200 man in match award, and you're giving them $400 for finals. There's nothing for the winners of the title. CWI just had a 50-man competition that the coach ruled and the ruling was wrong, and they have contemplated to give the players prize money and match fees. And now you're coming with another competition, and there's no guarantee of prize money at the end of the tournament.
No, there is a prize money. You know what? Let me look up the document.
I'll leave a fax.
Michael Morby.
Well, it is a fact that there is prize money. I just didn't tell you what the amount was.
Okay.
I didn't tell you.
Michael, while you look it up, we're going to give you some time to look it up. Let's pause for business cause. Ken is in red. The colors of the BLP. Mason and Guest, broad in association with the good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want.
Just before Michael tells us, let me tell you that Dr. Ford had to leave us. He's got to deal with an emergency. Let's hope that things go well for you, Dr. Ford. Yes, Michael, tell us.
I'm still looking for the thing in the budget. Hold on.
Take your time. So Michael looks for it.
I don't do anything fast.
Yeah. Basil, anything to say before Michael tells us that the winner will get $1 million?
I was gonna say that prize money for the man in the match and so on. In Guyana, we call that a wet beak. You just
a wet beak. I never heard that one before. A wet beak.
So I'm looking at a budget.
Budget. Okay, fine. I got my pen and paper.
Okay. No. I'm looking at a budget that was updated at the end of February.
Okay.
So it's based on what I'm seeing here. Yeah. The winning squad. Remember now, gentlemen, this tournament is not sponsored, but the winning squad is 25,000. The runner-up is 10, and third place is 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are individual prizes. The man of the match prize is total 3,006, and I'm seeing here individual prizes for most wickets, most runs, best all-rounder, most catches, most dismissals. Individual prizes of 1,000. Please. I do not want this one to go on. What was the program you said my other comments were going to go on? I don't necessarily want what I've just said to go on that program.
No.
I'm looking at the budget.
At the budget.
But I'm fairly confident that those are the actual numbers.
But of course, there can be adjustments to a budget, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, fair enough. Any other questions, Rohansson or Philo or Basil, for a good friend. How are the ticket sales going, Michael? Anybody coming to the games?
I will call you after the first weekend of games and let you know. I'm not sure what ticket sales look like. I don't get a daily report. I would say to you that the anticipation for crowds is not necessarily high.
Mm-hmm.
But we're hopeful that people come out and support. Mm. Especially and you would expect this, but especially the games involving the Trinidad and Tobago Legions.
I would say, do you expect full technology, the works with the dancing girls and all that, is that going to be on display or no?
No. We have 13 cameras covering the tournament, and as I say, we have markets globally where they've taken the broadcast.
Okay, wonderful.
So, it's about exposing the young guys and giving them a chance to be seen and heard when they express themselves. So,
Rohansson has got his hand up. Rohansson.
Yes, you talked about cameras showing to different markets. Do you know if any betting will be involved in this cricket?
Betting?
Do I know if any betting will be involved?
Yeah.
Well, Rohansson, I mean, you can bet on anything, you know. When you say if I know if any is going to be involved, I mean, are we offering people to bet on it? No, we wouldn't do that. But I mean, If there's a cricket tournament being played and it's being televised, or somebody and a bookmaker knows about it, if he wishes to, he can offer it to his clients. I'm pretty certain that bets were placed on the 4-day tournament, but I don't think it was because Cricket West Indies offered bets on it.
4417. Let's take a call. Can we, good old friend Ken? Hello, welcome, Mason and guests. 4417 90 4417 90. Yes, Basil. I'm sure you got a question for your good friend Michael.
Michael is saying good night.
Okay. Well, Michael,
you can take a call now.
Okay, we can.
Yes. Good. After. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah. How are you, Andrew?
I'm fine.
Now, I find it fairly difficult to get into this program now at night. But first, I'm doing some housekeeping. There's a young lady that you use this to call. I think she's Guyanese by thing, but she used to live in Jamaica, Claudette something or the other. They used to have on your show quite often. You remember that lady?
No, I don't remember her.
Yeah, there's a lady that used to discuss cricket, talk cricket with you on a regular basis.
Okay.
From she used to be in Jamaica. From in Jamaica. But I think her name was Claudette something, but she was Guyanese.
Okay.
I've not heard her for quite a while. Now, the other thing, I must agree there with, I think he's Mr. Hall.
Yes.
I hope I get it right. Now, I find it strange that how could you demand that a leg spinner should bowl three overs? Well, if a leg spinner in the first over get carried for at least 26 or 30, it's unfair to the team to continue to let him bowl the other one. He should be taken off.
Yeah.
You know, I find that rather strange. You know, I could understand you saying that you need to have the leg spinner in the team or off spinner in the team to play, but the demand that a bowl to 75% of the overs, which is about is three, I think that's really going overboard, Andrew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish the young tournament success.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that the persons will get what they are looking for, and this would help them to get players. I don't know if these might be players that they're looking to play T20 and 50 over and not test cricket, because this is a type of 2020 cricket is really batsman cricket, you know, batsman cricket, and everybody is not cut out to be a beat of the ball like your analyst there, Mr. Wallace, right? You have to naturally, become natural. So if you want to bring a fella from a stroke player,
right,
to play like that, you know, that's a bit too uncomplicated to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I would wish them good luck at the youngsters, and I would hope that they would, you know, instead of trying to go over the top, see if they can keep the ball between the fielders and get fours and help themselves.
Right.
That's my thing for tonight.
Thank you very thank you very much indeed for your comment. We're going to take one final call. Now Michael is going to leave us in two minutes. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, Andrew. How are you doing?
Good evening. Good evening.
I'm not a regular caller, but I was inspired this evening to call because there's something that I need to get wrapped around my head. And that is, and then I will try to address what Michael was saying relative to the mentoring.
Sure.
Now, during when we played cricket, now we didn't have any coaches. The coaching took part or happened in the pavilion after cricket, and this is where we got our mentoring or cricket advice and so forth. But I don't think that is not visible today. And I don't know if that could contribute to the, I don't want to use the word downfall or low level cricket over the years.
Mm.
And then Michael said that mentoring, I think what he said that only players who might have played in the 20 or the 50 over games are the one that should be, if I'm using the wrong term, please forgive me, that be mentoring the players. But my contention is this. Cricket doesn't change. The technique remains the same. The approach remains the same. And if you notice, and I've noticed this, one particular opening batsman, he always gets caught in the slip region. And quite a few of the cricketers are caught behind either the slips or slips. So my question is, you know, and I believe that maybe Wallow or the other guys could perhaps, you know, address that relative to not having coaches in that time.
Mm-hmm.
The cricketers were very good. I mean, scoring 200s and all of and had the right technique and everything else.
Mm.
What is happening right now? What is the change?
All right. Just hold your horses. We're going to say goodbye to Michael. I know that his whole question of dinner, the food is getting very cold. I know there's not going to be any ackee and saltfish in Trinidad and Tobago. They're going to give you some doubles. So I want you to say good night. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on Mason and Guest. And, of course, we'll have you again sometime, good old Michael, the man from Westmoreland.
Thanks for having me on the program, Andrew. Good night to you, my friend Philo, Basil, Johansson. Nice to chat with all of you. Good night to all your listeners.
All right.
Good night to your thousands and thousands of listeners.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks very much indeed, Michael. Always a pleasure to have you. Enjoy the rest of your evening and enjoy your dinner. All right. There we go. All right. 441790 is the number. Interesting contributions coming from Michael Hall there. Any reaction, Rohansson, to what he said? Then we're going to go to Philo and then we're going to go up to Basil. Were you surprised by anything that Michael said, Rohansson?
I just kind of disappointed in the prize money. I know he said it isn't sponsored, but I believe that, you know, a better effort could have been made there.
Mm.
Yeah, that's
Philo, are you disappointed? 441790, give us a call and participate. Are you disappointed, Philo?
I am, Andrew, because this tournament was touted since last year, and there's a marketing department at CWI. There's a new marketing manager, I think, as well. So why should this tournament have a sponsor? But to get back to the caller, he made some valid points. In my time of playing cricket, our mentorship came after the game. And you would know too, Andrew, being around St. Catharines, a lot of discussion used to happen after the game about what happened during the game
right. And
what is to come. But I'll tell the caller this. We were more receptive to those discussions. We embraced being in those dressing rooms with those former players. Because the visitors will go into the home team dressing room and you have a libation, a discussion about cricket. Now the young generation don't do that. The young generation, as soon as the cricket finishes, they're on the phone. Some of them don't take a shower. Most of them have cars, and they're out of the place. So no discussion happens. Practice sessions, they come, they do what they have to do, and they leave. They're always in a hurry. We always had time to stick around the club and make a contribution to cricket, make a contribution to the bar. But that is for another discussion. So the younger generation, to me, don't have the time that we would have spent in the dressing room sitting down, leaving clubs at 9 and 10 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. They don't have that time. It has to be a karaoke at the club for them to stay at any time after night. And that is the difference. Our era, we were more talkative and more astute in listening to the experienced players. The modern generation, they look at stats. That's what they base their cricket knowledge on, stats. And if they keep basing their knowledge on stats, I think their knowledge base would be very, very low because the stats are not high. So they need to be a bridge. They need to be a bridge between the past players and the modern-day cricketer. Bring a level playing field of understanding. I honestly thought that this breakout tournament, we would have seen some of our senior players mentoring in some of these young franchises, and I call them young franchises, because we're looking more heavily at the T20 format rather than test match format, which is a little opposite to what I think. I think we should be looking for more quality red ball players that can fit into a T20 or ODI format. I've been looking for the T20 cricketer, and I don't know which format he can fit in because we develop rather slowly. So I think that we have to look. That's why I asked Michael, who are the cricketers that sit on that board that make the decisions about these tournaments?
None.
And it's strange.
But he said he said the West Indies directors and I don't know too
but
many.
Then who are they?
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah.
They're 12.
Yeah, they're 12. Yeah.
No.
All right. Let's take a call just before you. I'm coming, Basil. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Yeah. Good afternoon.
Hello. How are you?
I'm okay. You know.
Good. Talk to us.
Yeah, I want to call in and make a point. First time caller.
Sure.
On the demise of cricket in the lower divisions in Barbados, the local cricket.
Okay.
I am saying, each year we are seeing more and more teams dropping out of, lowest division is Division 2. Dropping out of Division 2. Year by year. We had Bides Mill a few years ago. Lords last year dropped out of a couple of competitions. I'm not sure if they're back. And if you look at the demise of the cricket in Barbados, it's only a matter of time before it reaches the intermediate and reaches the higher divisions. Now, there were a couple of suggestions brought on the street, really. I didn't hear this discussed and on the radio, on the airwaves, but looking at there being less and less people being available in the pool for these clubs, and two suggestions were brought forward I thought were worthy of mention. Being, why is it that teams are allowed still to have two and three teams representing during the cricket season? Like, say for example, Empire, about three teams.
Yeah, they got different second division, yeah, intermediate and
right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the pool is getting smaller. Some clubs have even resorted now to using foreign nationals to bolster their squad. Teams struggle to reach to have 11 players available on Saturdays. This is the demise now. BCL teams, BCL falling apart, and some of the BCL teams coming over into BCA. You're seeing neighborhood grassroots teams, what we like to call grassroots teams, falling apart. And, you know, you can't find players when the weekends come to play in these lower divisions.
Mm.
And you can see the failure year after year. You see more and more teams dropping out. Bristol, a lot of farming names that were big years ago falling by the wayside. The ground's now either going in potatoes or using for queue or whatever. There's more than one solution that can come to this to solve this problem. The teams that have a huge pool, like the umpires and whoever else would police, whoever else will have these more than one divisions, why not allow them one team? If you don't make that first 11, that team, that pool from their intermediate squad, their Division 2 squad, will be able to go and find another club to bolster another club and probably bring success to that other club that is struggling for players. If you really want to play cricket, you are going to find a way to play cricket. If you're not allowed to play in the first 11 in Empire because you aren't good enough for whatever reason, you're going to find somebody else to play for. That's only natural if you love the game. Mm-hmm. The other option is, why is it, are the schools, I don't think it was so years ago, the schools being allowed to play, but from what I understand, they're allowed to play with the so-called established clubs to bolster the school squad, to strengthen the school's cricket.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, I can agree, but why can't the schools continue to play in the school's division? Why are the schools now allowed to be mixing and mingling? Therefore, you also are taking away the pool from the schools because no schoolboy is going to play for, say, St. George Secondary or Harrison College and still go and play for like a Spartan or a Spartan. Let me call it a Division II team because that's probably where the problem is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Say a Sheffield or a Malvern.
Caller,
they're in the same competition.
Caller, are you attached to a club? Are you attached to a club?
I am, actually.
Okay. Have you made these suggestions to the Barbados Cricket Association?
Well, not directly, because I am not in a position.
Was there a meeting? Did the BCA meet the clubs before the start of the season? Are you aware?
I think the BCA might have meetings before the start of the season, but not in particularly for things like this.
Mm.
Which, most likely for logistics and stuff like that.
Which club are you attached to?
I am attached to Sheffield.
Oh, you're a Sheffield man. Okay.
Correct.
Fair enough. Well, I want to continue this discussion with you. Some interesting points you're making. Can you leave your number with Ken Husband, who's in red tonight? So don't be afraid. Just leave your number. I'll give you a call and we can certainly continue this discussion. Ken, can you take his number?
If he's better behaved than you, yes.
just hold on. All right, we're going to take another call because, of course, we want to focus to in relation to the women. So Ken, take your time. I know you're getting very old now, Ken. You're moving so slowly, Ken. Come on, like a tortoise. Come on, Ken. All right. Ken Husbands is in trouble. And you didn't say goodnight to Philo. Say hello to Philo.
I am not good at multitasking. Please let me do one.
Indeed. Now, Rohansson, the women didn't make it. Are you still crying, Rohansson?
Still crying. Massive disappointment, massive embarrassment as well. But we got to look at where we are. I mean, we should have qualified and probably easily so, but that tells us that we have some issues that we need to deal with. probably coming out to the grassroots level, we need to find more girls in primary school and secondary school playing and develop them from there. Obviously, can't continue to rely on one or two players. We missed Dotton in this tournament. We missed her badly. Pretty sure if she was there, we would have qualified quite easily.
Mm. No, let's go back to the last game against Thailand. I mean, and I'm going to get Philo Wallace's view on this as well. We were hoping to get Hayley Matthews. She did, in fact, say she would have joined us, but I haven't seen her yet. I was speaking to her father. Thanks to you for giving that information. So I'll give this gentleman a call, the man from Sheffield. I want to do an assessment of that game. And before I do my assessment, I just want to come to you, Rohansson, in relation to, as it got closer to the end of the game, when the instructions came from Hayley Matthews to Taylor, it was either 6 or 4. They really needed the 4, but the 6 actually came, and that affected us. Could you explain what that was all about, Rohansson?
Well, first of all, I dealt with the net run rate because when we won the game, we would have tied with Bangladesh on points. And the net run rate for our side, West Indies women, would be calculated on the number of runs we scored over the tournament and the overs we faced minus the amount of runs we conceded versus divided by the amount of overs the other side would have faced. And then you subtract the against net run rate from the 4 net run rate. So the issue really was that we needed to score as many runs as possible on the total of 166. Thailand made 166.
Right.
So the best way to score as many runs as possible to tie the score at 166 and hit a 6 on the final delivery to get to 172 within the 11 overs.
Right.
We could have scored the runs in 10.1 overs as well. The calculation said if we got 167 in 10.1 overs, we would have been through in the second place position. But extending to 11 overs, obviously, was if we scored as many runs as possible on their total, which would have been the 172, hitting a 6 while we score on 166. So the instructions went out, or they seemed to have went up to Taylor that, well, we need a 4 and then a 6. She hit the 6. There was some confusion in the dugout. Some were celebrating, some were not celebrating. And Taylor on the field seemed quite flummoxed because Hayley was saying, well, we haven't won. And Taylor's hands went up in the air, like, you know, what has happened? So I thought she had understood the instructions because, it was pretty clear they would have laid that out from the break in the innings and then coming on. We would have ensured to go out there and say, you know, we need 4 to tie the scores, level the scores on 166, and then hit the 6, get as many as possible. She hit the 6, and there was neither sadness nor celebration, which showed that the instruction could not have been that clear. Because if the instruction was clear and Taylor understood, when she hit the 6, she would understand, well, you know, it's game over and competition over, but she was still there standing kind of confused. And obviously, before scores have been tied, and, you know, we ought to try to get another boundary being the 6.
I see. Philo, a bit of a mess there.
Even Rohansson, that was a mess. We started the tournament badly. At the end of the tournament, where we deserve to be, not qualifying. I would like Shane Beach and his team to emphasize in the women's team winning and leave up this net run rate and waiting for this body to win and beating this body. Beat the teams that are in front of you. If you win cricket matches, you don't have to worry. You lost the first game and you were pushed back. And that is the problem.
Right.
But we keep hearing we want this and we want the next, we want psychologists. We need to get proper fit women cricketers who can think on their feet and not a piece of paper come out inside of the rule like it's a police instructing people to go left or right. That looks terrible for international team. Cricket West Indies and the women's setup need to look at it seriously, that women's team. We cannot beat people with 2 and 3 good cricketers. It is not going to work. We just went to Pakistan and beat Pakistan. And when it matters most, Pakistan beat us. Even Scotland beat us. And we are talking about this and the next and bringing on the 16 competition. We don't bring on the 23. And let's see how it goes. We talk about next year on the 16 women, and the other 16s are going to play it on the 12s. Senior women are playing it on the 19s. We have our levels wrong. We need to look seriously at the overhaul of women's cricket. I would like the directors of CWI or the presidents of the territorial boards to seriously dig into women's cricket and get some proper people around women's cricket to get it going in the right direction. Telling me to go into schools and look for young girls, that is not going to happen, Rohanson. The parents want academics. And there's a big cloud over women's cricket, a big, big elephant in the room that nobody is addressing. And they're just putting a lot of paint over it. And when the water hit, the paint is going to wash away and the problem is still going to be there. That issue needs to be resolved to get confidence back into young girls playing cricket. You have someone called parents who have to advise these young ladies if they're to play cricket or not. It's not CWI, it's territorial boards. It's the parents that have to say yes. Because we're dealing with minors. And that issue has not been addressed. It's been skim about on this program. It's been skim about in the media. Nothing solid or concrete has come to fruition about that problem. Cricket West Indies and territorial boards need to take shape on women's cricket seriously. We are losing a lot of revenue from women's cricket. 2023, 2024, 2025, no qualifications for a World Cup for West Indies women. That needs addressing.
All right. Basil, your take on it?
Look, from losing that first game,
yes,
we were on the back foot. We were under pressure from there. And then, you know, Bangladesh goes out and wins their first three. Pakistan wins their first three, including beating West Indies. So now West Indies had to get help. And yeah, I mean, as discussed, I mean, when you look at the pictures, it's obvious that Taylor was not clear on the instructions and so on. But because I would question, why would she go for that shot? There was a long off.
Yes.
A long on or whatever, because the ball went over the boundary, fielder's head for six. So you wouldn't have been looking there to hit the four.
No.
You had to be looking somewhere else to hit the four if you had to get a four. So that confusion, all of that, it reflected. It was a microcosm of all the things with the West Indies team. And as I said earlier, we can't, as Philo said, we cannot be depending to win matches depending on Haley or Dottin or both of them. We have to have more, all the players pulling the weight. And this has been a broken record for the longest, that a lot of these players are not pulling their weight. Yet, we would hear from the administrators and so on that we have a good nucleus. So I wonder, we are looking at something totally different than them. Again, what Philo talked about in terms of the under 16, as you know, I raised that with the DOC when he was on here, because I want... How are you going to expect young girls to learn to play cricket in less than a year and be competent enough for you to pay money for a regional tournament? To me, that don't make no sense. To me, the money needs to be funneled in the territory to develop these players. And the competition, that's the regional will come. But we have to get these girls playing cricket from the young ages up with proper structures and proper guidance. Look, we got a T20 tournament coming up with the women. I wonder how much preparation the women in the various territories have had to prepare for this upcoming tournament. I can tell you in Guyana, it was almost nil. But they still pick a team in the tournament. So we're going to see again the poor standard that we've been seeing. And obviously, with Haley playing for Barbados, you could check the box off. Barbados will win the tournament.
Well, interesting enough, I got a five on the line, Mike Matthews. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Andrew. Hi, everyone.
Good. Can you confirm that Haley Matthews will be playing in this tournament upcoming in St. Vincent, is it?
No, Haley is not playing.
So where did you get that? Haley
has a couple of niggles that she's been advised to rest.
Mm. So you see why Mason and Guest is as short as it is? You made a comment just now, and I found someone to... come on. Where did you get that information from, Mike, Basil?
Mike, I have to take back my words and say Barbados was going to win with Haley at the helm. Now it's a no tournament.
So where's Haley now, Michael?
She's in New York.
Okay. Have you spoken to her? Obviously, you speak to her quite often.
I see Haley every day, but honestly, I've been trying to reach Haley for the last couple of hours. I've not been able to reach. I know. Remember today she said that she had to go out.
Right.
I know she had to go. And she told me she would try to be back for 6:30.
Right.
But obviously she didn't get back.
Right. Okay. Did you speak to her about the disappointment of not making it?
Yeah, of course she's disappointed. She was in tears.
Mm.
You know, she always knew that after the loss to Pakistan, that was always going to be very difficult, especially with their net run rate. The way it was, you know, coming on to Bangladesh. I mean, coming in against Thailand. You know, she knew that was always going to be a push to win it. You know, they had a really good fight in the end, but just didn't get over the line.
What did she tell you about the mix up there with
There was no mix up.
Okay.
Taylor knew that they wanted a 4 and then a 6.
Mm.
She just said it. I probably thought, you know, she maybe would have gone more for Cole Corner.
Right.
But, you know, I guess when the ball came down, you know, you're just looking for a 4 for sure. So she went with the power and stuff and got it too straight. And that's what happens. It's not as easy as everyone thinks it is.
Mm, I see. Yeah, yeah. When is Haley coming home?
I think on the 29th.
On the 29th. Well, it really is a very, very... But as a father, though, I mean, you, the different emotions that you go through.
Yeah, of course. And I was very disappointed also. I mean, we really had no way losing that game at all.
Mm.
You know, chasing 246. You know, I thought that would have been a pretty comfortable chase, but it would have worked out to me if Haley probably did not catch cramp. You know, but West Indies were in control of the game until Haley caught cramp.
Right.
And then, you know, when she was replaced by Fraser got one ball. Mm. Fraser got 2 or 3 balls. Haley had to come back out, face one ball, got to the, hit a 4, had to go straight back off because she was cramping up really badly.
Mm.
Then Ramrat came in at number 11 and got 1 ball. So she had to go straight back out again.
Mm. So sad. Okay. So just before you go, you're confirming that Haley will not be playing in the upcoming T20 tournament.
No, she isn't. No, she has. Haley has quite a number of niggles.
Mm.
That obviously, you know, she's playing cricket every month, all year round.
Mm, I see.
You know, she has. They have their tour of England, the middle of May. Then right after that, they come back 2 days later. They play against South Africa.
Right, yes, in June.
Yeah, then she'll probably have July off and then straight to the 100 in August. CPL, September. Then she'll have a little break until the Big Bash in the latter half of October, November.
Mm, mm. And you think we may have Dotton back soon, hopefully? Did you talk to Dotton at all, though?
No, I don't. No, I don't hear Deandra. If I see her, but not on the phone, or I don't talk to her like that, no.
She was a big miss, Michael?
Of course. For the time Deandra was missing, yeah, it was always going to be a big miss.
Mm-hmm.
Deandra, a big miss to any team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they still should have gone to qualify without her. They have played the last couple of tournaments without her, and they've done okay to beat Bangladesh, Pakistan, all those without Deandra.
Mm.
But Deandra would always be a big miss.
I see.
Especially in a competition like this where you lose one game and all of a sudden the pressure is on.
Mm.
You know?
Michael, did you cry?
If I cried, no, I didn't, no.
But you had some water in your eyes, though.
No, I didn't either. I was honestly very happy with the chase. I was sad, of course, but from the time I saw the target, I always knew it was going to be extremely difficult.
Mm.
You know, maybe a 150.
Yes.
You know, 140, 150. But 168 in 10 overs, 10.1 overs was always going to be very, very difficult. Mm. Even 150 is difficult.
Yeah, I see.
But that 15 runs over compared to 17 runs and over is a big difference.
Indeed.
Michael, especially with every dot ball.
Michael, we'll leave it there. Time is tight. I will certainly talk to you again and say hello to Haley. We were hoping to have her on the show, but we do understand that she's a very busy young lady.
All okay, right. No problem. Thank you very much.
Let's pause for business calls. Mason and Guest Broughton Association with the good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ASFE is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, Johansson, tomorrow big game on Barbados in terms of under 15 playing against Guyana. What are your expectations there, Johansson?
Yeah, I expect Barbados under 15 led by Justin Paris to win again.
Really?
And defend the championship.
Mm. And bonus points wouldn't get in the way.
Because we have quite a lead. I think we're leading by about 4.4 points.
Yeah.
If Guyana get the four for the victory, and even if they get some bonus points, we will also get some bonus points as well. But I don't think it will come down to that. And the 15 guys are much more advanced.
Oh, they're good. Yeah, I agree. Philo, do you like bonus points in this competition? Philo, talk to me.
No, Andrew, I don't know what is the benefits of the bonus points. What are the benefits of the bonus points? I don't know. CWI, you have to clarify it. I when you look at it, Andrew, you keep looking at our just concluded first class season. Where Guyana won, Barbados came second, and the points were just like maybe 2 points, you know, right. 3 points, something. I don't know what the points, the extra batting and bowling points are for. They don't benefit the doctor. I believe, Andrew, you're playing a cricket match, you win, lose, or draw.
Mm.
When you play ICC matches, you don't get no bonus points. You win, lose, or draw. Mm. If you don't qualify, you can't make it.
Mm.
So we have to focus our cricket on winning. That is our strength and our bedrock for West Indies cricket. Winning, beating teams. You're not getting our cricketers accustomed to beating teams. Our captains are no longer captains to win matches. They're just competing, and that is wrong. That mindset has to change. And that is why I said it's so important for this young, this competition that's going to start in Trinidad, for these junior cricketers, T20, to have seniors around, emphasize the importance of winning. But we undervalue experience, and we want to bring in mathematicians, psychologists, dietitians, and all kinds of people for cricketers. But when you build a house, you want steel benders, concrete mixers, misses and carpenters. We need cricketers around cricketers who understands the game and who can relate the information to the players and get the players to buy into what is being said about the game and their abilities to play at the various levels.
Wonderfully said, Philo. Of course, we hope to get you back on the board. Well, a committee on the board sometime. I know you were there one time, but things didn't work out for you. And like Roland Butcher, you might have been relieved of your position there.
No, Andrew. I stepped down from the board to go to Trinidad.
Okay. Oh, that's the reason.
I came off the board. All right. Nothing else.
Okay, fair enough. All right. You know, sometimes I can say things that are not true. Thanks, Philip Wallace. Thanks to you, Rohan. That's it. Butcher Jr. Thanks to you, Rohan Wilson, for making your debut. We're absolutely brilliant. And thanks to our good friend, Mr. Michael Hall, who still has to go into that budget because some adjustments may be made and the players may get a bit more or they may get a bit less. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a bye tomorrow. It's good night.
Yes, it feels white rum. If anybody feels they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.